So you're starting it now?
Well, yeah, I've been waiting to push that damn button for 3 weeks.
I told you to like push the button like 10 minutes ago. You know, I go on vacation for a little bit, have to do some stuff. I mean, you guys bring Arnold in. You know, he says, man, those are some good cheese fries. And,
dude, Arnold brought in some listeners, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you bring TNA in, that's what happens.
I mean, let's face it, somebody's got to be the eye candy of this podcast.
Oh, Arnold definitely fits that.
That's true.
Definitely fits it.
I mean, the eye candy?
Arnold, yeah, I love that. The eye candy? Meat. Yeah, I love that man. Meat.
He does have a braised bronze kind of thing going on there.
Yeah, that he does. That he does.
That innocent demeanor that just invites you into his eyes.
According to our side chat, he may be available in 15 minutes. So in 15 minutes, we'll break this podcast and add him in. And, you know, we'll fix it in post.
God damn it,
Wait, so who's going to fix it in post?
Yeah.
I say we.
There's no we in this post crap.
Mr. Utah will fix it in post.
Yeah.
The salty flatlands.
I was telling Leroy that, you know, for until the end of X-Wing Store Championship season, I am changing my moniker from Joker to Shawnee Utah.
I heard he likes to fire his gun into the air for no reason.
Stay salty, my friends. Stay salty.
So it's been a minute, so should I say all wings report in? This is your amazing host, who has returned back from the world of awesomeness, Leroy Wilkie.
Well, if you're back from awesomeness, what is this?
Awesomeness Part 2, The Return of Awesome.
The Search for More Awesomeness?
No, that's Part 3.
I think you just killed the working title of the episode with that.
What, the Ewoks are Wookiee Midgets?
No, Awesomeness Number 2, The Return of the Awesome.
Right, and the search for more awesomeness would obviously be Part 3. But we don't want him to be salty about that.
You can't tell me what I can't be salty about.
You're salty about everything.
Yeah, so you telling me not to be salty is basically you're going Inception there, dude.
Anyway, so he's Joker. I heard you like saltiness. Apparently he doesn't want to call in, but he's Joker. Right?
I already said my name.
I thought it was Shawnee Utah.
I said I'm going by Shawnee Utah.
But you didn't say it after all wings report in.
Dude, I'm the salty one.
And I'm the bridge keeper, so answer me these questions 3. Lo, the other side, you'll see. Question number 1.
Well, that worked.
Question number 1.
What is the weight of a wind and swallow?
In a European.
Leroy Wookie, what is your favorite color?
Blue, no pink. good times. Good times. So, yeah. I've been gone for a little bit. You guys trashed everything. Glad to see you guys left the garage and working over.
I didn't trash anything. I humped everything.
Well, I mean, you could have at least mopped up.
No, that's the problem. You see, we actually cleaned up the garage. You think we messed it up. It's actually clean.
Well, you say that, but if you can't find things... See, this is like when your girlfriend cleans up, and you're like, yeah, you cleaned up, but now I can't fucking find anything because you put it all in the wrong spot.
Yeah, that's like the golden rule of my office in my house. It's just don't put anything in there. Don't move anything. I know where everything is.
Yeah, if you go in the Leroy's office, you just don't make eye contact with anything. Especially Leroy. It just gets awkward.
Yeah, usually because I don't have pants.
Well, you can make eye contact with Grim. He's a good dog.
Grim is a good dog.
Grim is pretty legit. He's like the unofficial gas-looking mascot.
Yeah.
He was the dog that was barking that one episode. That's right. My 12-year-old dog. That's awesome. He's been through some shit.
Yeah, he's seen things.
He has.
So speaking of dogs sifting through shit,
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and nominate that for segue of the year. And we haven't even gotten there yet.
These three dogs have decided to sift through the shit that is the theme specifically behind Star Wars X-Wing. A thematic romp into the thematic nature of the cards and ships that we all play with and take for granted.
Can we re-record that as like tonight on Top Gear kind of thing? You know, like,
tonight on Top Gear.
Yeah, but it's like tonight on Gaswicky Garage. Well, we talk about some stuff and some cards.
We right. Do things, play and, things, talk. And
things. Sean humps a camel.
Okay, seriously.
And PNA.
Leroy Wookie goes live with the bidet.
It's because of the plan that my Google Chrome is still full of bidet advertisements wherever I go.
Hey, I now have a guest room bidet, or a guest bathroom bidet. I'm just saying.
So, I don't know how long it's going to take us to actually get around to playing this particular game, and I don't even know if it's a game or if there's points. I think we should do it like Whose Line Is It Anyway, where the points are made up and they don't matter at all.
Well, hell, okay. The show doesn't matter.
No, that's fine.
But yeah, we're gonna come up with some ideas for what we think are good cards and bad cards, respectively, and why they do or don't fit the theme. And the other two participants are going to try to see if they can find a reason that it does or does not, contrary to who brought it up. And you know.
So kind of like a point counterpoint.
Point counterpoint. And points will randomly be assigned based on absolutely nothing arbitrariness.
Okay, so in the theme of Animaniacs, can I name this good idea, bad idea?
Good idea.
Bad idea.
Yes.
I like the sound of that. Everyone agree? Cool. I already called that a good idea. All right. So. So let's see, Mr. Bridgekeeper. Give us your first good idea.
My first good idea. I was going to start with a bad idea, but that's okay. That's okay. Let me see. I wrote it down. My first good idea. Okay. Personally, thread tracers. To me, thread tracers are a really good thematic card. They take up a missile slot, so you sort of fire them like a missile, making them actual projectiles instead of just a laser beam of some kind. They grant target locks. They're cheap and expendable, and I think it's a really... I think the theme is really strong with it. Not to say that I use it a lot in-game, but I think the theme is very strong there.
I have no counterpoint to that.
I would counter with, I think it's cool in a general sense of a theme, but I don't know if it actually fits Star Wars theme.
Okay.
That makes sense. Like, it's basically, it's kind of like a tractor beacon. You shoot a ship, everybody else can trace it. So I think it's a good, just overall thematic card for what it does. But if I were to offer a counter, I would say it's a little bit too generic and not honed into Star Wars per se.
So you're saying it's a decent piece of gear, but it's not like something we've ever actually seen in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I mean it's something that you would see in any sci-fi environment. It's not necessarily themed to Star Wars, but it does exist in Star Wars. So, but I can't argue that it's a bad card. So,
Mr. Bridgekeeper, 30 seconds for your counterpoint.
No, I mean, I kind of don't disagree with him. I mean, I picked it because the card did what I would expect a thread tracer round in a sci-fi sort of dogfight to do, but I don't disagree that it's not specifically very Star Wars flavored. That's true, I guess. But I mean, still, I do think that the card does exactly what you would expect that piece of equipment to do in game. So.
And for that, I'm going to award the Bridgekeeper 10 points.
Woohoo!
10 points.
Yeah. Can we, like, trade these in for, like, you know, a handful of candy like you got, David?
You can trade them in for fuck yous.
I want to trade mine in for handfuls of jobs.
You can get Steve Jobs. This is nuts.
Well, let's, I mean, obviously my biggest opponent there was the Salt Flatlands that are once known as Joker. So let's hear one.
I want to cut you off before you let Salty Utah over there, take everything. I did not do my homework at all for this. I'm going to let everyone know that. I'm the bad kid of the group, and I don't study for crap. So, stay in school, everybody.
Let's just let Leroy be the judge here.
No. I actually have one, though.
No, he's got to come up with them.
I have one. I have one. Well, maybe two.
Well, we'd like to just thank you for doing the bare minimum for the group here.
Hey, anytime. That's what I do. Sounds like someone's peeing on the on there. That was awesome. Anyways,
I was shaking a can with a little bit of liquid in it
to indeed
put out a cigarette butt.
All right, so I don't know. I'm gonna go with bad form here, and let's go with Ezra Bridger in the attack shuttle with his ability of if you're stressed, you can change two of your focus results to evade results.
And why do you think that is bad thematically, specifically?
Okay, so if you watch Star Wars Rebels, yes, he's a hothead. But I think he's more of an aggressive person. It's kind of like the and this is maybe jumping the gun a little bit here, kind of like the Luke Skywalker ability here, where he's a little bit more aggressive rather than defensive. I think it would be more suited if it was flipped the other way.
Okay, so
a bit more of a hothead.
So you feel like because he's changing focus results to evades, you think it would be more logical for this hot-headed, angry character to be changing them to hits or something?
Yeah, more of like an all-out aggressiveness. Especially when this came out, this was a little bit earlier in the series. Where he wasn't all, you know, as cool, calm, and collected. He was a little bit more hot-headed. Things like that. And, you know, like, yeah, I guess you could take it as, you know, calm under pressure, things like that. But I think it would be more, I think his ability or, like, as a character, he's more aggressively focused. Rather than being like, oh, I become able to just dodge everything when I'm stressed.
But is that not a sort of a sense of, like, he's flying straight in at the enemy and attacking and not thinking so much about, you know what, no, I had a point there and I talked myself out of it. No, I don't think I have an argument for this one, Sean.
Yeah, see where you were going? I was going to say that's Concord Dawn. We're like, okay, put it in arc that he gets that or something like that. You know, where, okay, he's facing you down and being aggressive.
Right. So does the Saltlands have a disagreement here?
Actually, yes, because I am salty. I tend to think that it's actually a little bit more thematic to the character because he is the one that would tend to go, you know, balls to the wall at somebody, but when he starts tapping into his anger and goes towards the dark side, he would start getting a little bit more defensive natured. Because he's going against what his normal, you know,
the normal Jedi programming.
Yeah, so he's actually going the other way around, and because the key part of it is if it was just, you know, when attacking or when defending you can change, but I think what actually adds more flavor to it is when he's stressed. So he's not actively thinking, okay, I can do this in offense. It's like he's stressing out, focusing on offense, but like. His internal struggle, if you will, changes his defensive positioning to kind of kick in as kind of like a his dark side of him is actually starting to kick in versus the light side. But
see, now I mean, in general, just talking about a light side Jedi and defensive abilities, it does make sense. But there is another example of that where I would agree that not always does it make sense for a Jedi to be defensive. I don't know, yeah, just in general, I think Jedi, a light side Jedi having a defensive ability does make sense, but I can see why maybe not so much for this character.
Yeah, and also, he's not a Jedi, too, so it's, like I said, I think maybe it's just something about that training that he doesn't realize what he's doing, so that's why when he taps in to his anger and his force abilities come out, that's why it changes, but... I could easily see the argument that it should be more offensive than defensive, though.
I think here, I think I'm gonna. I think what we need to do here is I very much kind of see both points. So I think we're gonna split this one down the middle, and we're gonna give Leroy 5 and Joker 5.
All right, 500 for me. Got it.
Yeah, 500 for Leroy, 500 for Joker.
No, 5 for Joker.
And 20,000 for me for excellent record keeping.
Yep. I agree with this.
Right.
Except okay. For I also get 50,000.
That's fantastic.
Indeed. So, you want to pause the recording there? Hit record. Come on, Salty, hit record.
William Shakespeare, born 26th of April, 1564, baptized 23rd of April, 1616, was an English poet, playwright, and actor, widely regarded as the greatest writer in the English language and the world's preeminent dramatist. He often called England's national poet and the Bard of Avon.
Do I need to mute him?
His extant
works... Hold on, I got one a little bit better for you.
Okay.
Good evening. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world, and you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind. That word should have new meaning for us all today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We'll be united in our common interests. Perhaps
are you calling Independence Day? Seriously.
Well, actually, I mean, wait, hold on. Can I at least do the end part?
No. Can we get back to our?
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight.
I have the control of the mute button.
We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today we celebrate our Wookiee Day.
And Sean's the one that sacrifices himself, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Right into the butthole of the ship.
Yeah. After that ship, you can strap my ass to the nuke. Alright, where were we now that, you know, a certain somebody came in here a little late?
Everybody, I'd like to welcome TNA. Go ahead and report in. This is where you say TNA.
TNA. There you go.
There you go. All right, see, look at that. We can learn him.
He's not the best color man in sports, folks, for no reason. I'm telling you, this man is nonstop content. Come on, Arnold. Right. Take us to the top.
Those are some good cheese fries.
If for those of you who didn't listen to the last episode, I'm pretty much going to assume that's all of you. The best part that me and Jeff sat there and talked about, like, the greatness of Buffalo Wild Wings, and every few minutes you hear Arnold say, "Oh yeah, lemon pepper is pretty good." I mean, the man is just a fountain of knowledge.
Well, every now and then he's like, "Look at the fun bags in that hose hound." Yeah.
Well, we officially knew that Arnold was one of us when he started coining the term jumping on the grenade. But, all right, let's get back on topic before we get too crazy.
All right, so let's see. We covered something and something.
Jeff did thread tracers.
Yeah, Jeff covered thread tracers and got awarded 10 points. 10 points for that.
10 points, yes. Then I got 5 points for the counterpoint.
No, you got no points.
You said I got 5 points.
No, I said you got 10 points. Jeff got 10 points. That was it. Stop trying to write in points that you never got.
The points don't matter.
All right, minus 20,000 points for Joker. Okay. And,
19,995 in the hole.
And then I brought up didn't do my homework, Ezra. And I was awarded 50,522 points.
Well, there's no way I'm winning this one. All right, so where are we going next?
Well, it was supposed to be you. You were next.
Well, am I doing a good one or a bad one?
What do you want to do?
I want gas Mickey in the garage.
That
little Wookiees, everybody.
Little Wookiees.
What?
Arnold's voice sure changed.
Say, I love cheese fries.
I love cheese fries.
Sounds like
all the internet. Yeah,
that's pretty spot on, Arnold. I mean,
the internet can hear you right now.
Be a gangster.
Yes, get to be a gangster.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we raise them right around here.
So anyway,
right. Get us back on track, Jeff.
It's not me, it's you. You gotta come up with one.
Well, am I doing a good or a bad one?
Do a good one.
Good one, okay. Okay, so my submission for the court, if you will, is Dengar the Crew Card. For those of you who don't know, which I'm pretty sure is like none of you, pretty much when you're attacking, you get to re-roll two dice if you're attacking against a unique pilot. Which would make sense because he is one of the premier bounty hunters, so his ability should be kicking in when you're fighting against
someone with a name.
Yeah, so against generics he does nothing, but against, you know, an actual unique pilot, he's going to want to roll it, re-roll those dice.
See, I mean, I definitely can't argue against this one because that would create a hypocrite of me because I would think I was arguing for this at some previous discussion about playing this game about themes. So, I don't know. Arnold, you tell Sean why he's wrong.
Why he's wrong?
Yeah.
Honestly, I agree.
You're wrong because you're... you're a poopy head.
Really?
Am I doing this wrong?
Poopy head. Okay. You know what? Actually, I'll tell you what. Fuck it. I can devil's advocate this, even though I used to agree with it. I don't understand why Dengar, one of the most premier bounty hunters in the world, does less damage to chump pilots. Sure, I get that he's specifically focused on certain characters, and the additional dice re-rolled shows that focus, but why would anybody be better at killing a really good pilot and less good at killing a bad pilot?
Because that's what bounty hunters do. They don't go after your common pilot. They're going after aces. They're going after bounties.
At least a pilot is this type of name or reputation.
Well, sure, they wouldn't normally be going after him, but in the game, you are indeed, in fact, shooting at them. And you're telling me that he is worse at that?
No, he's not worse. He just gets a bonus when he's shooting at a unique pilot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, basically, he's boning it in unless you're a name.
Yeah. Like, he's not worth your time unless you're a big name.
Well, I tried. Honestly, I do like the theme of this card, but somebody needed to try to talk shit about it.
All right, so negative 20 points for Shiny Utah. All
right, well, shit.
Is this golf points? Because I think he's kicking our ass if that's the case.
It's well, not. I'm like, training I'm him like, wrong as a joke.
Yeah, I'm like that dude on Jeopardy that just totally fucks it up and just rolls with it.
He's like, what is your grandmother, Trebek?
I'll take anal bump covers for 5,000.
Anal bump. That's an album cover.
It'll take swords for a dozen.
Saber.
S words.
Saber. I said it's S words, not swords. Saber is an S word.
Okay, anyway. Arnold, what do you got for us?
Arnold, we got to do at least one more good one before we start shit talking.
One I don't get is Wedge, his pilot. You lose one agility shooting against another ship. I mean, that I don't get that skill at all for him.
Why?
Wasn't much in the movie. I don't see how it pertained to the movie at all.
Wedge is like the daddy dick of the X-Wing, or of the Rebel Alliance. So if Wedge is on your butt, you're more paranoid about Wedge shooting you down.
Now, can I play devil's advocate, Jeff, here?
Yeah.
Can I steal some thunder? I will give Arnold I actually considered this as a bad one, too, primarily because I see Wedge, and this kind of goes the same thing with the Luke thing, is much more offensive. I don't think he would actually reduce the agility of another ship if the ability was more like change of focus to a crit. I would be more on board with it, but I don't see what Wedge would do that he's so good at that would actually reduce the agility of another ship.
He leads his targets. He knows how to shoot where they're going to be instead of where they are, which makes it much more difficult for them to dodge.
Okay, I tried.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Arnold. You're going to lose that one.
So, did you do your homework for all the schooling that Jeff just took you to?
No. I didn't. We're all going to be sitting in detention later.
Did I get points for that one? Did I murder that one?
I mean, all right, honestly,
we'll give Arnold 15 points for the Arnold's question and 20 points.
He's
jumping for the bonus round.
He's got a rebuttal. He's got a rebuttal.
I'm sorry, Arnold. 30 seconds for your rebuttal.
Based on the move, he's sitting behind. He gets shot and pulls off. I don't know why everyone else stays there and dies, but to me, I think his pilot ability is if the attacker is shooting, you know, a friendly ship at range one, you know, you can assign him a focus or something different, something that has to do with him being near or covering another friendly ship at range one. To me, that's what I think his pilot ability should be.
Yeah,
something
as
a bonus for defense.
But Wedge isn't a wingman. He's the ace.
He was the wingman.
Within the movies, though, he is the wingman.
He is a wingman.
In the movies.
I mean, okay, yeah. I mean, I will contend the point that on screen, he was depicted in a scenario where he was someone's wingman. But, I mean, the character and how he's described and how he's portrayed is that he himself is the ace. He's the
True.
He's the guy with all the check marks on the side of his X-Wing in the shape of TIE fighters.
Now, one could easily make the argument that he is the best pilot in the history of the Rebellion.
Which wasn't a very long history, so...
Well, still, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I can see your point. You know, if we're looking at the movies, and obviously not everybody's looking at EU, and so the movies are primary source. I totally get what you're saying from that context. I do. Unfortunately, I think with this game, we're forced to look at what the characters are outside of just the scenes they're in the movies, because half of the characters aren't even in the movies.
No, they're from comics, TV shows.
But, I mean, I do very much see your point simply from the context of his on-screen time. He wasn't really shooting a lot down.
Which would be the canon now. But I think this is written more on the EU or the Legends base rather than what is.
So, I don't know. I think Leroy's got to give out the points for this one, because I'm not sure.
All right, 15 points to Arnold for the question and for the pilot. Negative 20 for Shawnee, Utah, and 15 for Jeff.
Are we going to do this where, like, at the final round, Sean's going to earn some, like, a million points back or something and dig himself out of a hole just to end up at zero?
Yeah, just to go full Rocky on us? Yeah. But Rocky and Rocky 1, where he still gets knocked out by Apollo Creed.
Nice.
Arnold's Apollo Creed, just so you know.
Oh, Arnold's Apollo Creed, okay. Actually, yeah, I can see it. I can see it.
So does anybody else have any good ones before we switch to the bad?
Well, I don't know. I think we could intersperse them a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know.
And I do have other good ones, but...
I've got a couple of other good ones that we can come back to.
I mean, if you want to hear another good one, I can do a good one next.
Shoot, go for it.
Okay. One I really like is Backstabber. For one, Backstabber as Vader's wingman in the movies and on screen was very much following. He was, you know, yes, he was with Vader, and he was part of a wing of three guys, but everything you see him doing was following ships and trying to shoot them down from behind before they got their protons off. So the fact that he gets additional damage dice when he's behind somebody, I really like. Not to mention, his name is Backstabber, and he gets bonuses when he's shooting someone in the back. To me, this is... it's pretty much theme platinum and very hard to destroy.
Speaking of backstabbing, I'm going to go start stabbing people in the back that are shooting off fireworks on July 3rd. They're really starting to annoy me.
Just tell them they need to move 10 feet down the street.
I'm going to tell them they're going to need to move like 40 caliber down the street.
I can't really
We're
play...
in Texas, that's legal, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I can't really play devil's advocate on this because when I started doing all this, I stayed away from a lot of the EU characters because I'm not well versed in it like Jeff is, so I can't say one way or another whether this fits or not. If we're basing it solely off the movie, which is where, you know, that's my only frame of reference, I would actually say is the ability actually fits pretty well because the only time you see him is in that trench, and since he's attacking from behind, which is outside the defender's firing arc, he should get an extra die.
Right, so the only time you see him on screen, he's following X-Wings and shooting at them from behind.
Yeah. Theme wise, I mean, if we're going strictly off a movie, I think it's spot on, but outside of that, I have no idea anything about the character, so I can't say one way or another.
Anybody got any counterpoint to this one?
Sorry, I had to step out for a second.
Nope.
What was going on?
Backstabber, anybody got counterpoints against Backstabber?
No, there are no counterpoints. He backstabs. kind of obvious.
Fair enough.
Negative 5 points for Jeff for giving the obvious one. All right, anyways.
Well, I guess that leads you, Leroy. Do you have any more positive ones? Any more good theme?
I don't know. I just want to throw out the question just for Bryce. Corrin Horn, his ability, does it fit? I'm not a huge, like, EU person, so, like, I'm very limited in my knowledge.
See, Corrin Horn was one that was hard to touch for me because...
Well, that's a first.
Well, it's difficult. I mean, it's... Does he take a... He takes a second shot at the end phase. What specifically? Why? There's very little explanation that I can come up with as to why he has that ability. I don't want to say it's bad thematically, but I personally can't think of any reason it's good either.
Yeah, it's kind of the same lines of, like, Dengar when I was thinking about good versus bad, to where you can make a case, honestly, either way. Like, those pilot cards are kind of in the middle to where they're not really thematic, but at the same time, they are thematic. It's kind of like, well, they're top pilots, they're focused, Cornhorn's real into, you know, he's Force-sensitive, I think. He is it. Wasn't he a Jedi at some point?
Yeah, he was a Jedi.
So, I mean, it would seem the reason that he would be able to shoot twice because he's a Jedi, but at the same time, that's not necessarily a pilot ability. That's more of like a ship ability.
I mean, but yeah, does the ship have the extra guns, or is it he's that much more focused on taking another shot, or I don't know. It's a hard one to touch thematically in game.
Those are the ones I just stayed cleared from, because it's like you're going to argue for a while, but at the end of the day, you're going to come to the same conclusion.
Yeah, I think it's a problem with any sort of second shot kind of ability. Any double tap, any shooting twice, a lot of those abilities are hard to... It's hard to explain why that's happening in game. Although that could be the argument why maybe it's bad thematically, because what's the fucking explanation? There really isn't one.
Other than he pops twice and needs a sandwich?
Pretty much, yeah. He needs wings.
Sure.
So I do have one I'd like to submit to the court that is a fairly newer card that I actually just thought of at the last minute this afternoon. And that's Bodhi O'Rourke, the pilot for the U-Wing.
Well, that's funny because I do it later on my list have Bodhi O'Rourke. The crew card.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same. It's the same ability, isn't it?
Similar.
Yeah. So, pretty much, you know, he allows ships to target lock any ship at range of any other friendly ship. And to me, this is actually pretty freaking thematic because he is pretty much a trucker pilot, but going off the movies, which is the only thing we have, he's coordinating the attack almost the entire time. So it makes sense that he's allowing other ships to go beyond their range.
I mean, you make a good point with that he's coordinating the attack. I will say, though, that I originally had Bodhi on my bad list. Obviously, the crew card, even though the similar abilities, because he's a shuttle pilot. He's not a fighter pilot. He's not a combat pilot. He may not even be combat trained, as far as we know. He's a shuttle pilot. And why would a shuttle pilot know anything about target locking?
Look at the shuttle's title card. Where you can target lock from anywhere.
Well, more than that, shuttles are, for the most part, support ships. So that's what they do. Now, if he was on, say, an X-Wing or something, I would totally be on board. So that's stupid. He shouldn't be able to do that. But he would basically be on a big ship, you know. Dear God, man, what's going on? It's like Mrs. Wookiee out there just had enough and she's just beating the crap out of somebody?
I don't know. I mean, I get it, I guess, to some extent, but I still kind of don't. And honestly, the argument that the title on the shuttle allows it to target lock from anywhere, I don't know that that's improving my thoughts. I'm just maybe thinking that that's a crappy theme card, too. I do get it. Like, right, he's a support guy. And I totally understand that he should be supporting his allies, his abilities are supportive, and making other people good rather than so much himself. I get all that. But I come back to the fact that a shuttle pilot being good at target locking of any kind, I don't know, I find it confusing. I don't understand why being a shuttle pilot makes you in any way better at electronic warfare.
Well, the thing about it too is that he's not actually giving the target lock away. He just tells other ships where that ship is so they can target lock. It's not like he acquires the target lock and then gives it to somebody else. He basically is the guy that sits back and says, hey, there's a ship at range X. That said ship, you can target lock him. He's just pointing stuff out versus actually handing them off.
Okay, that's an angle I hadn't considered. That might actually be a pretty good point.
Did I win one?
I think you won one with that. I think I will concede the argument because I did not consider that specifically.
1 point, Shawnee, Utah.
God damn it. Well, I've only got 50,000 to go before I get out of the hole.
Well, let's see. Arnold, what do you got for us?
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Arnold, you put the lotion on your skin?
No, the man in the hole does.
but is the Arnold the man in the hole or the man in the skin suit dancing with his wiener tucked in?
Oh, no, that's me, because that makes my tits hard.
So then Arnold's got to put the lotion on the skin.
No, I'm out of there.
Shawnee Utah does.
Oh, Shawnee Utah's the guy in the hole?
Yeah.
There wasn't a guy in the hole.
Because I'm going to be in your hole.
Can I be Jane Fonda?
Right. Does that make Arnold
out for a bit? So, Casey, do you have one?
No, no, it's Arnold. Arnold's.
Yeah,
Arnold.
We keep cutting him off like jerk wagons.
I don't have any other one. That was would have been my second one. Would have been the crew card.
Oh, Buddy Rook.
I just don't understand. Honestly, I don't. Based on the movie, I don't understand. I just don't understand that ability. So, and especially the pilot card, the shuttle pilot. But you can't. That's the closest thing they have to the shuttle from that movie would be the U-wing. I already hate the U-wing as it is.
Now I will concede that the crew card makes no sense, because that one Bodhi actually acquires a target lock. So, to speak to Jeff's point, that one makes no sense. But
well, I would kind of point that saying, makes... no, I would say Bodhi, you know, because he's used to working in a support role, and I really hate fireworks right now. I really do. Again, like, I'm gonna go about 1 a.m. to my neighbor's house and just blare my horn. For
no, dude, don't trust me. We'll get him back tomorrow. We'll talk about that.
Oh, later. Should we just shoot mortars at their house?
See, Leroy, you're missing a thematic opportunity right now to just say that the Gas Wookiee Garage is currently under Imperial assault, and they're firing mortars off.
This is actually annoying me. Like, Mrs. Wookiee is trying to sleep right now, and she's like,
"Can I pause here, please, Leroy?
What?
I am making a claim of copyright infringement. I'm the salty one, not you.
Oh, I'm just bitter and angry."
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Yeah, there's just bitters and angriness right
ooh,
here.
Ooh, I call jealous and resentful.
Loathing and despising, Arnold, is still up there, Arnold. Loathing and despising.
Loathing and despising.
Yes.
How about just quiet?
Well, all right, good cheese fries there, Arnold. Anyways, to my point. I would say Bodhi's ability in crew still works because... He's a coordinator, so it doesn't mean that he's not able to, like, bounce stuff off of his own friendly ships, you know? You don't know. Maybe it's, like, his own little ninja mind link of being able to hack into everyone's stuff and be like, yeah, look, I can see you, too, through that ship.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a horrible, but, like, his pilot card is more encompassing because he can use that for himself. His crew card basically says... only he can do it. It's not he helps other ships. So, like I said, to Jeff's point, I would say the actual pilot card is more accurate to where the crew card, it doesn't make all that much of a sense that the pilot of a shuttle would somehow become a target lock expert.
Wait, are we just skipping over the fact that Leroy gave Bodhi credit for some sort of special ninja mind link ability?
Yeah, we are.
I don't feel like we need to. We should be glossing over that.
Okay, yeah, that's
200 points, Wookie.
I don't think that's how that works.
Yeah, I'm awarding myself 5,000 points now.
Okay, all right. Do we need to any more good ones before we switch to the bad?
I don't know. I have my on the fences ones.
I have my overall good one, but I want to save that for the last one.
All right, I can hit you with another good one until we go there.
Hit me with your best shot.
Mara Jade Crew as a Sith who's just on a ship, you know, not piloting, but crewing a ship. Mara Jade being able to distract and stress ships that are nearby by using the dark side of the Force. What the card does for everybody, it's ships in range one. At the end of the combat phase, take a stress. And I really like that, personally. I think it's very thematic. It feels like something a dark side assassin who were crew on a ship would be doing. Anybody? Anybody?
I have no counter for that one.
I got nothing other than, like, should you get a bonus for, like, boning Luke Skywalker, too?
I'm not going to get negative points for another obvious one, am I, Joker? You gotta have some sort of rebuttal here.
I don't know if her character speaks the fact that you're stressing out another ship. I don't see what, like, I would tend to lean more towards, like, she would actually cause the damage. Like, she could change a hit to a crit, but as far as stressing other pilots out just because of the fact she's there, I don't see, like, where the connection is between the character and the ability.
It's the dark side of the Force. She's stressing them out. She's like using sort of almost Force choke from a distance, or rattling the cage of the pilot, or
just she's showing them the dark side.
Showing them the dark side, or just an all encompassing evil aura of ickiness that you feel when you're too close.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a great counter. I don't think it fits, but I don't have a. All right, points to Jeff.
20 points, Jeff.
Okay. You said you had another good one, Leroy?
Well, I would say Rebel Captive is a pretty decent one thematically. I mean, it fits the bill. I mean, like I would say. More so, I mean, when it was released, it was only, I don't think Scum was out yet. So I think Scum would be like, to it. And on that point, you could actually make it Scum and Imperial use, just not Rebel use, obviously. But yeah, I think, you know, it should be only against Rebel forces. And yeah, you'd kind of crap your pants if you're shooting at the ship that has your buddy in it.
Yeah, see, I actually really like that one, too. I almost thought about putting that on my list, but it's definitely stressful trying to disable a ship when you don't want to blow it up. Like, your friend is on that ship. You can't just shoot it right through the cargo hold. You got to try to disable it in hopes that maybe you can rescue him still later on. I think that's awesome.
Crap, shot to their shell. His cell. Oh, no.
Yeah, I actually think it's a little bit better in the fact that it's only Imperial, because the Imperials would be the ones that wouldn't give a crap if one of their guys was on the ship. They'd blow it up anyway. So where Rebels and Scum would actually have friends and allies that they wouldn't want to kill. So they would actually receive a stress token if they were going to blow up that ship.
See, I'm looking at it more as Bounty Hunter level, where, you know, Bounty Hunters would have possibly a Rebel captive that, you know, in their midst. And, you know, could use it in that aspect.
Man, I mean,
yeah, you know, like fireworks are going off for my point.
Yeah.
What you got? I mean, we're under attack.
No, I mean, I think it's solid. I will say that I do partially agree that it's a little weird that Scum would care about a Rebel captive specifically. You know, if there's a Rebel captive aboard a ship, why is the Scum guy not wanting to shoot it down? But to be fair, when have you ever seen a Scum list that gives a shit if you give it stress or not anyways? I mean, that's why Mind Link is OP, right? Because stress really doesn't bother Scum lists.
Hashtag real top.
So, I'm going to give my final good one, and this was my ultimate one. And that is Han Solo, the original pilot card. He's the ultimate gambler, so when he takes a gamble, he's going to risk it all. So with his ability, he says, you can re-roll your dice, but if you do it, you re-roll all of them. So he's kind of like an all-or-nothing character, so it sounds like when he takes a gamble or he takes a risk, he's putting everything on the line. And to me, that was probably the most thematic card in the game right now.
See, this one I can't argue with, for sure. To me, it's not that much of a gamble. If you roll some dice, and you look at the dice faces, and you can see to yourself and do the math and go, yeah, this ain't going to hit, this ain't going to do anything, Han Solo, roll it again. To me, thematically, that doesn't say anything about him being a gambler. That just means that, hey, if he misses, no, he didn't. And I don't understand why Han Solo piloting would do that, especially considering the fact that it's the Falcon, and on the Falcon, the pilot is not firing guns. So if Han Solo is currently sitting in the piloting seat, somebody else is on the guns, be it Chewie, be it Luke, be it someone. They're the ones shooting. Their abilities would matter when it came to shooting. So having a pilot ability affect your firing in a ship where two different people are doing those roles, to me makes no sense.
Maybe he's just really quick at repositioning to allow you to regain your shot.
Maybe he is, but.
To me, it just speaks to the fact that to where other, like, the gunners and the turret, like, the second crew shot's going to have their own ability to where they can modify their dice. But with Han, if you decide to do it, you have to reroll all of them. It's not like, you know, Luke, that you get to attack again and you change a focus to a hit. Or Finn, you know, can add dice, or Rey can reroll the blanks. Han's basically says, if you roll three dice and I get a focus hit and a blank, I can't re-roll that one dice. If I want to make sure I get three hits, I got to take the chance of re-rolling all of this and maybe getting a worse result than I had before. Because there's no guarantee on that re-roll. You could actually end up with a worse result than you did the first time. Yeah, it's great if you miss. Don't get me wrong. It's a great ability. But if you get in the position where, like, you need three hits and you get two, you're taking two hits off the board to use his ability.
But see, that is not a gamble, because you're looking at it and you're going, well, I got a crappy roll, so I'm going to re-roll. What's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to get another crappy roll? Sure, maybe it could be crappier. But if I've got something I don't want, I'm not taking a gamble by trying again to get something I do want. You're taking a gamble if you got five hits and you re-rolled it all hoping to get a crit in there somewhere. Sure, that's a gamble, but that's not when and where that ability is ever used in actual gameplay.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you want to use his ability, it's all or nothing. It's not, you know, like Rey, where she re-rolls the blanks. If you do this, you're re-rolling all your dice.
It's the press your luck scenario.
Yeah.
Arnold, your thoughts?
I like his ability. I have no problem with his ability.
But do you feel it's thematic?
Me? Yes. Because you could possibly roll worse than you actually did. And I've seen it happen. I've seen Sean do it against him. He goes high and rolls, and it's like, oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've seen it happen, too. I just...
Especially at range one.
But you're never going to do it if you got a good roll, so it's really never that much of... I mean, you're not risking a good roll to re-roll ever.
Well,
you're not gambling with something you care about.
I see what you're saying. Han a lot, I would say yes. It actually happens more than you think with good rolls. Because if, for example, if you got stressed and you get one hit and two focus, you got a good roll. But you're going to take the chance of, like, do I take the guaranteed hit or re-roll this and re-roll into something better? Depending on the situation, I mean, it could make the difference, but it could also lose you an entire round because you decided to go for it.
Fair enough.
And I understand we're talking just about that one card, but it's even a bigger gamble when you pair it up with another card you have on your ship, like Expertise. You're just like, I'm going to do it. And you re-roll, and you don't have any focus. You didn't roll any focus. One hit, and you did blanks.
I mean, I will agree with that. When you pair it with Expertise, it makes it more of a gamble, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. And you pair it with Gunner, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, you pair it with Gunner, and you just shoot three times until he hits. Well, there's no gamble there. He just keeps rolling until he hits something.
Not when I play Arnold, sir, dude. There's something about Arnold that just makes your rerolls go to shit. I don't know what it is about that man, but I'm like, all right, I'm rolling four dice at range one. I need one hit. And I'm like, all right, I rolled all blanks. I'm going to Han that. Okay, another four blanks. All right, I'm going to gunner. God damn it.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I...
just luck.
I don't know. I don't... I'm not sold, but clearly I'm the minority here. I'm outnumbered by opinions.
All right, so I'm going to award some cheese fries to Jeff and 5 points to Arnold and Shawnee Utah.
Okay, well, at least I've got double digits and positive points, but it's offset by my 7-digit negative points.
Right, yeah. That's important, you know.
All right.
So I'm going to start with my first bad theme card, I think. And I'm going to say Han Solo, the original. Oh, no, we did that. No,
I think someone's popping countermeasures in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I think they are.
Fantastic.
Actually, funny, because my first bad theme card is... it's something that... it's often paired with Han Solo. And I don't necessarily think... the card is bad thematically as far as how it works. Really, my problem with this card is its title. And that's Gunner. Specifically Gunner, it's a 5-point card. If you fire and miss with a shot, you can take another shot with your primary weapon. The problem I have with it is it should be Ace Gunner, Pro Gunner, Crack Shot Gunner, some other kind of... there should be some sort of something signifying that this gunner is good at his job. Simply having a gunner in a crew slot is mandatory to fire almost every weapon in-game on every vehicle that can have a crew slot. So, let's take, I mean, the Falcon, for example. It's not... the pilot can't shoot the guns. Those are these 360 quad laser turrets. Someone, some chump, is in those seats firing those guns. And maybe they're not anybody special, and that's why they're not... you know, they don't have to be represented in the game by a crew card or anything. That's fine. That all makes thematic sense to me. But if that's the case, then why have a gunner would make that any different? He's, you know, if he's not a great gunner, if he's not anything special, he's just a gunner. Well, you already have to have a gunner. You can't shoot that gun without a gunner.
Maybe they have like a little ninja button in the cockpit of the Falcon that allows them to shoot guns.
But they don't. We already know that that's not how it works. But I mean, it's not just the Falcon. I mean, it's a Decimator, for example. A Decimator... the guns are fired by a gunner. That's how Decimators work. There's a gunner on the ship that fires the gun. On a Ghost, that's how it works. That's how most large ships with crew slots work. There's...
actually, on the Ghost, if I remember right, they shoot it from the cockpit. And then they use the attack shuttle as a secondary turret.
They shoot from the cockpit, but they have a second person in the cockpit. They still have somebody who is... I mean, co-pilot or whatever, a person who's firing the guns, independent of the pilot.
Yeah, I think what I get your point on the, you know, the whole, you know, make it like a gunnery person or something like that, or like a, you know, make the name more specialized.
Honestly, if they called him Ace Gunner instead of just Gunner, I would shut my mouth. I would not have a problem with this. But that gun can't be fired with a gunner, without a gunner. So don't tell me that paying an extra 5 points and admitting it does anything to affect it.
Yeah.
I see your point on certain ships, but I think overall, like, the Ghost is a good example. I mean, other ships that take crew slots, I don't know if it, like... I don't know if renaming it would necessarily make it more or less thematic, but I do see the point, like on a Falcon, that it should be, you know, a little bit more tailored towards ships with, you know, 360 degree firing, but when you have like a ship like a Ghost or heck, even a Phantom or something like that that can take a clear shot, that's firing the same weapon as it did before. I think maybe they should have changed it to where, like, maybe you can only fire the primary versus just shoot again in general. That, to me, may have made it a little bit more accurate rather than just changing the name.
Well, it does have you firing the primary, but
that's... I feel like there's ships that just get... Like, it doesn't fit well with, like, to your point, to, like, the Falcon, to where its primary is a 360, so it doesn't matter if it's primary, secondary, whatever. It's renaming, it's not going to change anything. But it should be, like, fire again out of your primary firing arc, to me, would make that card a little bit more thematic than, you know, just changing the name of it.
Well, see, I don't think so. I think at that point, you're just trying to say that the pilot himself is also a gunner. That doesn't really do it. Let me just ask this. I mean, just hypothetically, hypothetical situation. You're flying a ship. You're going into battle with any ship that has a gunner seat, right? You know, whether it's a 360 like a Falcon or whether it's the TIE Phantom, whatever it is, it has an additional seat where a gunner sits and fires the gun, and that's their job, right? Would you ever go into that battle without that position filled and expect that ship to perform the way it's supposed to? So my point there is that every ship with a crew slot pretty much already has a gunner. So if I'm paying 5 points, I want to be paying 5 points for a ace gunner. Or I want you to tell me that this particular gunner is better than the gunner that would have been sitting there already. Because somebody's already sitting there. Someone's gunning it for 0 points. Someone's firing that gun. That's their job.
Well, I would disagree. Like in a Falcon, you can have crew slots and they're not in the gunner position.
Yeah, you would. You would take up crew slots that are not gunners. And in return, you assume that the people firing the guns are generic nobodies that you're not paying points for. They're just generic nobody gunners. Because all ships with gunner slots have generic nobody gunners.
Yeah, but if I bring a Falcon with, like, R2-D2 and C-3PO crew, they're not going to be helping me fire regardless, to where if I bring somebody who's actually a gunner who sits in that seat that I'm paying for...
You're right. No, but that's exactly my point. You're right. If you take your crew slots as R2-D2 and C-3PO, they're not gunning. They're doing something else. So some generic person without any special ability is firing the gun. There's still a gunner there. Even if you take your crew slots with R2-D2 and C-3PO, in the battle, somebody is sitting at that gun firing it. Otherwise, how are those guns working?
Can I just write Bob the Gunner on all of your cards now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be somebody, right? There's already... There has to be a gunner there.
No, I get your point. So I'm going to award you 20 points for making sense and a half point for Joker. Arnold, you also get cheese fries.
Thank you. I like cheese fries.
I almost got him to say it.
Arnold, do you have one that you really don't like thematically?
I've been trying to find one. No, I honestly I don't.
Well, all right.
Nope.
Leroy, you got any that you hate thematically?
I already kind of brushed on it with Ezra.
Sure.
Let's go with Sabine Pilot, because I think her crew card makes total sense, and she's total badassness and, you know, all that. Because, you know, she's the queen of explosions. But why the booster barrel roll?
Remind me, what does Sabine Pilot do?
Immediately before you reveal a maneuver, you may perform a free booster or barrel roll action. Now, I get it, she's kind of hot-headed. And, you know, she's kind of, you know, cray-cray like that. But you know, she likes to drop the bombs on that ass.
Well, forgive me for not being much of a, not being too versed in Rebels, so I'm going to pose this as a question rather than a counter-argument, but is she, as a pilot, known to be very daredevil-ish and stunt pilot-like? Does she, or does she fly it straight? And, I mean, I know she's a Mandalorian, right? So, on my thought would be that she would probably be the kind of pilot who's very straightforward and militaristic. But in the show, is she represented as a stunt driver?
She's the rebellious teenager.
Well, I mean, so in that case, I would say a crazy stunt driver is going to be doing a lot of boosting and barrel rolling, even when it's not necessary.
I
kind of get it then.
I will play devil's advocate, and I think both her cards actually fit rather well. Because in the story, she was a pilot for the Empire, so she would have some pretty advanced training, but she was also a weapons designer, so that would fit with her ability to do extra damage with secondary weapons. So I would actually say both her cards actually fit rather well.
I mean, a typical Mandalorian, I would think that would be a terrible ability, but if she is the rebellious, stunty teenager, then I don't know. I guess that part of it makes it make sense to me a bit.
And she was trained in a TIE fighter, so it would make sense that if that ability was in another ship, I would be like, no, just because she's a great pilot, you can't make a ship do what it doesn't naturally do. But since she's so good in a TIE fighter, it would make sense that she can do more actions than your common pilot.
Yeah.
And well, now, TIE Fighter doesn't actually have boost, though.
No, but she's also in the attack shuttle, which, you know, she's kind of cranking out what the ship can do. Countermeasures are still going up.
I don't know, Arnold. This one's up to you. Who's winning this debate? What do you think?
I think her. Honestly, I think her pilot card is spot on to the character in the deep show.
That's gonna knock Casey down at least 2 points, I think.
Oh man,
I think it fits just right.
I think you're going down from 5,555 to 5,553. I think that's gonna knock you down too.
Son of a bitch!
I wish your pilot skill was a little higher than 5, but.
Yeah, I think that goes with her not completing training and kind of being the young, rebellious kid.
Okay. I
have to be nice because Arnold hasn't watched all of Rebels either, so I have to tread lightly because you know, there's some cool stuff in like the later seasons.
Yeah. I've watched Concord Dawn 1 by 3 times, though. Only because Finn comes out.
Well, yeah.
He's pretty badass in season 3, just letting you know.
So, Joker, have you done a one that you think is a bad theme yet?
No, I have not.
Well, let's hear it.
Obvious one is Luke, but I think that nobody's going to argue for the counter on that. But
he dodges all the things. Didn't you see him dodge Vader?
Yeah, because somebody else shot the bad guy, not him.
I think Luke's low-hanging fruit. He's
Luke dodges all the things. He's amazing.
There's no reason Luke X-Wing should have a defensive ability. It doesn't make any sense at all.
But I'm actually going to go back to Rogue One and say Cassian Andor, pilot card, to me makes no sense. Because
what is Cassian Andor pilot card for everybody?
He can remove stress from other ships. And if you watch the freaking movies, he was the one dude that was stressing people out.
Right, because having a longtime rebel, angry hitman type who's practically the Inquisition of the Rebellion is definitely not a low stress thing.
Yeah, and the fact that he the only thing, the only reason why I almost didn't put on this list is because there is that minor factor that he does take this war personally, so he might take stress off of other people, but...
Dude, it's the accent.
Yeah, I just don't see, like, him... A, he's a pilot skill 6, which sucks. He shouldn't be that high of a pilot. Because it is K2SO that actually made that ship a good ship, but... this, if you watch the movie, there's no indication that this guy's a team player at all. He's just there because he was born into the rebellion. He's got an axe to grind, and he's in it for personal reasons. None of that speaks to him taking the load off of other people.
Honestly, I can't argue against you at all with this. I think you're spot on. I think... He is, in fact, stressful to have around, if anything. He's almost the exact opposite of his piloting ability.
Yeah, he's the loose cannon of the group that, you know, he's lying to you, he's murdering, he's killing innocent people, he's tying up loose ends. I just don't see this as somebody that, when you bring him to the table, you're like, oh yeah, he's going to take the load off for me. I'm like, I don't see that.
No, yeah, I agree.
So, this was the one where I was like, I don't understand how this ability fits. I have not read any extended universe or any canon comic books or stories, but just watching the movie, I don't see this make any connection whatsoever.
Right.
Another card that commands the wing of like the ship.
So does anybody disagree with Joker here, or, I mean, are we pretty all in agreement?
I got nothing. So what points are you at now, right now, Shiny Utah?
I'm at -49,983.
Cool, you get 49,982 points.
-1.
Woo! I've actually got one. I know we're coming really close to time here. I do have one that I want to mention, and I think it'll be a quick discussion because I think it's pretty simple. But rigged cargo chute. Essentially, what it does, I don't have a problem with. It technically gets rid of a cargo token. Oh man, the ship drops a cargo token. That's fine. All right. Except that other than, I guess you could occasionally say that this game might take place in atmosphere occasionally. But for the most part, this game is 99% taking place in deep space. And what the fuck does rigging a parachute to cargo have any place in a space battle? What is that? That's nonsense to me. You kicked it out the back of the ship with a parachute in space? Why?
Yeah, if they're tailing you, you have to fly through the debris?
But you could just kick it out. Like, you can literally... just be like, hey, cargo token, get the fuck out of the ship. What do you need a parachute for? What's that doing?
Yeah. Well, I will say this much, and when this card first came out, I actually had a salty argument with another friend of the garage. I will not say his name. But a chute just in and of itself, by definition, is really, for the most part, just a container. People tend to confuse parachute with a regular chute. A chute could just be just a contained way of, you know, transporting things. But I do kind of see what Jeff is saying, the fact that I think they named this completely wrong. It could just be like rigged cargo or just something like that. When they added the chute part of it, you're kind of like, so like you open up the back and like a big...
Surprise, mofo!
Yeah.
Well, okay. So even let's say we're like it's a chute like Chutes and Ladders where it's just sliding out and it's not a parachute. I still am like, and who cares? What is the point of this?
You're still in space, so a slope means nothing. There's no gravity taking you down that chute. So.
And there's no rational reason for you to ever be like, hey. Middle of a space battle, yo, somebody kick the crate of forks out the back. That'll be fun.
Yeah, so. I think they were going towards the, you know, dumping your cargo from episode 4, but I think they totally missed.
They also got it from, like, it came out right after it aired on Star Wars Rebels, where someone literally dumped a cargo container. Cool episode, you should watch it. It's like one of the first episodes of season 3.
But, I mean, great, but what's the purpose?
I mean, to speak to Jeff's
point. Watch the episode and you'll be like, yeah, that's kind of cool. But, yeah.
But to defend Jeff's point, it's not...
thematic now.
It's not one of the rebels. It's not a rebel image on that ship. So it makes very little sense as far as, like, if they're going with the rebel connection, it should have been, like, you know, whatever ship that dropped that cargo should have been on there.
YT-2400.
Well, if anything else, I mean, that it's a illicit ability, which pretty much means that it's got scum only printed on it, except that they didn't print it on it. So, I mean, it's even less, it's not rebel at all. It's not remotely rebellion.
Yeah, it's just large ship only, so as long as you can get that illicit slot one way or another, you can take it.
Right, but you show me an illicit slot on a large ship outside of scum, and I'll show you a ship I've never heard of.
They have the fixes for it, for the the smuggler's cargo hold or whatever.
Yeah,
so for the 2400 and 1300s.
Yeah, that came out with the last... That came out with the Heroes of the Rebellion, or the Heroes of the Resistance, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not...
So they added it for
it's
those.
Not, it's not a natural... No, you have to upgrade your ship to get it, so... No, it came in the Shadowcaster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. But that's... Or Rigged Cargo Chute came in the Shadowcaster, sorry.
The Fixes came in Heroes of the Resistance.
But even then, it's like you have to severely modify your ship just to get it.
Well, fair enough. I mean, I just...
But I agree with you. I think that's kind of like... Just dumping something on the back of your ship isn't necessarily going to go straight to the other ship. I mean, this is space. One would think that'd actually be easy to get around. It's not like a bomb that detonates. So,
yeah,
right.
All right. So 1 point, Johnny Utah, or Shiny Utah. I'm sorry.
Yep, I'm back to zero.
Back to zero. Is it from zero to? Nope, still not a hero.
I'm going to say Arnold, actually, I think, gets 1,000 points.
1,000 points and another thing of cheese fries.
Because of his lack of contribution, as strange as it may sound, he also wasn't wrong ever once.
Well, he did have the pledge.
He managed to play it safe, and, you know.
That's what he does.
Doesn't seem like I have points. I have cheese fries.
But isn't that winning?
Yes.
That's like that's Charlie Sheen level of winning.
I think cheese fries are winning.
So I think with that note, are we good to wrap up good idea, bad idea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the winner here is the listener and not the listener.
Yeah, for those people who aren't listening, but really deep down they are.
Right, the winner here is anybody who's normally a listener of the show and skipped this episode.
You really shouldn't. Welcome to season 2, everybody. Yeah. So, I think we're going to call this season 2 now, right? Is that the plan?
Yeah, season 2. Like and follow on Facebook and click like buttons and listen to it. And then, you know, maybe comment every now and again and show up at your local game store and kick Leroy in the nuts.
Yeah, and see, because if Shawnee, Utah gets this done in time, it'll be Happy Brexit 1776. See what I did there?
No, I don't, actually. I have no idea.
Okay. So if he doesn't get it done for Brexit 1776, that would be the Independence Day of the Americas of the United States.
I can pretty much tell you it's going to be after.
Okay. And then I'll also throw out thanks for watching our live stream the other day.
Yeah.
It's like the Cinco de Mayo of the Los Estados Unidos.
Dude, Jeff just dropped some knowledge.
Damn.
So pretty much, if you're listening to this, you've already probably watched our live streams that we have actually yet to film. So this is like going into like Terminator territory where we're sending our dads back in time.
And if you're looking for that live stream and it wasn't there, that means something bad happens tomorrow and we may all be dead.
We love you.
I blame Arnold.
Yeah, it's probably Arnold's fault. He shit on or around the coats.
Right, or he just failed with the cheese and meat tray somehow.
Yes,
we can live stream it tomorrow?
Yeah, we're live streaming.
Yeah, we're probably going to do some, we got lots of ideas. It just depends on what we get around to, but we've got, definitely want to do some live
streaming. And it's not tomorrow, it's yesterday.
Oh yeah, so when we did this, we were thinking about doing maybe some love letters, some legendary, possibly some a quick unboxing of Ghostbusters 2.
We might even run around only wearing t-shirts and tennis shoes and helicoptering about.
Finish for life.
That's pretty much what's going to happen when Leroy opens up that Ghostbusters box. We're only going to be able to film that from the waist up.
Yeah. You don't know that.
Afro-circus, book it up, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Fidget spinners are really just a colloquial way of saying helicoptering one's penis without pants in public.
Hey, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and say I can counter your fidget spinner trick with my fidget cube trick.
You know what? I'm already impressed. I don't even... I got to see this now.
I mean, if you can be able to click all six sides of that while spinning, I'm telling you.
I just want to see you play with the thumb joystick bit with your wiener head, like, accurately.
Wow.
Konami code it, dude. Konami code it.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start.
Hey, no, it's one-player game, man. If you're playing two-player, man, you're doing something wrong.
What? You always play two-player, because I had friends when I was a kid.
No, I made them sit down and watch.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's because my older brother was a douchebag. But anyways,
you made your friends watch that, dude. I'm not going to your house tomorrow or yesterday or whenever this airs.
I'd watch. Anyway.
You know what? It's pretty cool that we're talking about showing up tomorrow, but yet no one sent me an address.
Oh yeah, I'll send that to you.
Just follow me.
Well, I think he figured out our joke.
Yeah, that's
where
what
are
I'm
you,
afraid
Arnold?
Of. I'm going to buy all this food, all this stuff, and I'm going to be sitting here eating it by myself. Just like on my birthday, I bought that one cupcake, one candle, sat here, just saying happy birthday.
Oh, by the way, that. And now Joker's going to have to beep that out or something.
You better beep that out or I'm going to stab you right in the fucking eye, dude. I fucking hate you so much. Don't edit this out.
Casey?
I fucking hate you.
Casey?
And I'll bring in legendary tomorrow.
Casey?
Yeah, right, so everybody show up at the aforementioned address.
Everybody. Everybody. Yeah.
All three people who listen to this.
Which is funny, because we haven't even dropped the address for the stores that we play at, but yeah, my home address, that's fine. So...
Okay, hey, that's what the cell phone does. Every time something pops up on the cell phone while we're recording, I have to repeat it. It's a rule.
Oh, hold on.
What are we holding on for?
Something going on here?
It says, I love Casey's in my mouth.
Keep on running, everybody.